I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's talk about a fourth Turkish ship that is now going to be entering the Mediterranean off the coast of Cyprus, looking for oil and gas exploration off the Eastern Mediterranean. The EU has responded to Turkey's previous oil and gas exploration attempts, and they have said that they will be placing sanctions on Turkey. We don't have the details of those sanctions yet, but we do have a statement from the Turkish foreign minister, Mevlut Cavusoglu. Hope I'm pronouncing that correct. And he responded when the EU did announce that they will be putting sanctions on Turkey because of the oil and gas drilling. Here's what he said. I quote, "Calling the EU's decision sanctions means taking it seriously. You shouldn't do that. The decision was made to satisfy Greek Cypriots. These things don't have any effect on us." So Alexander, essentially, he is brushing off the sanctions as pretty much no big deal and toothless, and they won't affect Turkey's drilling in the Eastern Mediterranean. What do you make of that statement?
Well, I think that on the one hand, it's very characteristic of Erdogan and the policy of the existing Turkish government, which is that they won't take any nonsense as they see it from the EU or from the US or from the Western governments. I should say that it's now the anniversary of the coup attempt against Erdogan in 2016. Erdogan felt that the Western governments didn't back him as they should have done during that coup. So he's always been somewhat antagonistic towards them since then. And he's making it very clear through his foreign minister that they're going to just press on. They're going to continue drilling and looking around for in Cyprus's waters or close to Cyprus, putting the Greeks and Cyprus under great pressure. And if the EU sanctions them, they will just go ahead and doing it. So it's Erdogan, in effect, doubling down on his policy. Now, I have to say, Erdogan at this moment in time is got a very difficult relationship with the US. He has just received the first batch of the S-400 missile system from Russia that we discussed recently in a different video. He's now also talking about entering into a military co-production deals with Russians. He's also making it absolutely clear that he's going to press ahead, sending his ships into territorial waters that are Cypriot, as everybody in the EU and Cyprus and Greece considers. And he's also going against Israeli interests by doing that, because the Israelis also have energy projects with Cyprus in this area. And of course, he is upsetting and annoying the EU, with which he is now on extremely bad terms. And it's worth pointing out that Turkey has historically always sought close relations with the EU and has for most of its post-war history been trying to become a member of the EU. All this is happening at a time when the Turkish economy is in a frankly poor state. Turkey's in recession, inflation is very high, interest rate policy, there's disputes about interest rate policy, and the governor of the state bank, the central bank, has apparently recently been dismissed. And to add to everything else, Erdogan has just lost elections in Istanbul. Now, this seems to me rather as if Erdogan is taking on an awful lot of enemies at once, at a time when perhaps a wiser policy for Turkey would be to seek retrenchment. I don't think these EU sanctions are going to amount to very much, but they are a sign of how bad relations between Turkey and the West have become at a time when the political situation in Turkey is somewhat challenging for Erdogan, and when the Turkish economy is under very considerable strain, with the Turkish currency, the lira, constantly facing devaluation crises. So, I think that for him to press on with all of this on an issue, sending ships into Cypriot waters, which is not crucial for Turkey, doesn't look very wise to me. And I forgot to mention, of course, that he's also on bad terms with the Saudis over the Khashoggi affair. So, as I said, he's making lots of enemies, perhaps too many for a person whose base, Turkey itself, doesn't look too stable at the moment.
Yeah, the Austrian Federal Minister for Europe, Integration and Foreign Affairs, Alexander Schallenberg, Alexander, said about the planned sanctions this: "Today, we will adopt a number of measures against Turkey, less money, fewer loans to the European Investment Bank, freeze of aviation agreement talks. Naturally, other sanctions are possible. We are fully behind Cyprus." We don't know the details of the sanctions, but listening to that statement, coupled with what the US is doing to the lira, which is the US sending a message to Turkey after the S-400 purchase by
Yes.
Erdogan, do you think that Turkey can withstand this type of economic assault that's going to be coming their way, this financial assault that's going to be coming their way? Because many people think, oh, well, Russia, they weathered the sanctions fine, no problem. But Turkey is not Russia.
No, I mean, they are completely different economies. I mean, Russia's economy is on a completely different scale to Turkey, to Turkey's, in terms of its industries, the size of its industries, the size of its natural resources, the size of its technological and scientific skills, the size of its international financial reserves, the size of its gold reserves, the fact that it runs a budget surplus where Turkey runs a budget deficit, the fact that it runs a trade surplus and a balance of payments surplus where Turkey's surplus of Turkey's trade is always and severely in deficit. I mean, the two economies could not be more unlike. And as I said, the Russian economy is very conservatively and successfully managed. And of course, it is the economy of a huge continental state, self-sufficient in raw materials, energy, and food, which Turkey isn't. So Russia can ride out sanctions and has done so very successfully. I mean, we've just had more economic news coming out of Russia, as it happens, just today. And we see that Russian industrial production in June was up more than 3%. I mean, it's been steadily climbing all this year. Turkey's economy, by contrast, is in severe recession. It's facing heavy inflation. And its financial reserves are apparently close to exhaustion. So I have to say, I don't think Turkey, in conventional economic terms, can ride out these kind of sanctions pressures. Moreover, the talk is that the United States is now preparing to roll out even more sanctions against Turkey over and above those sanctions that you've spoken about, which is already imposing. And additional to the ban on the F-35 aircraft sales that we've been hearing so much about. So I think Turkey's going to be in for a very tough year, at the very least. And I'm surprised, actually, that Erdogan himself doesn't seem to be taking this fully on board and isn't adjusting his policies in that way. I mean, at the very least, you would expect him to be trying to keep bridges open to the Europeans at a time when, as you rightly say, he's in such difficulties with the US, and when his own economy is in such a bad way, and when he's just lost a key election in Istanbul.
Okay, now the Greek Cypriot newspaper, the Philelephthero, has reported, and it's not confirmed, this is just what they've reported from their sources, that the Fatih did find gas reserves up to 170 billion cubic meters in the waters right off Paphos, the Greek Cypriot city of Paphos. So you have that there. Okay, we have some sources that say the Turkish ships did find oil and gas reserves. You have the purchase of the S-400s from Russia. You know, you have this new kind of alliance where you could say it's China, Russia, Turkey, Iran. Is Erdogan betting that, you know, he's going to be number one, some sort? And you also have the South Stream, the Turk Stream, yeah. Let's call it a pipeline. Okay. Is Erdogan kind of betting and, you know, putting all his chips on the fact that Turkey's going to be this Eurasian energy hub and that it's going to have the unconditional backing and support of Russia and behind Russia, China? Is he positioning Turkey to have that central role in this new Eurasian alliance that's supposedly going to be taking on the Western NATO neoliberal order?
Well, I think in his own mind, perhaps he is. And I would add, by the way, that he's also got very close relations with China. And he's always had very strong relations, personal relations, with Xi Jinping, who is the president of China. I mean, you see photographs of them together. But the problem is, even if he has that sort of idea in mind, I mean, doing it as abruptly as he seems to be trying to do it, I think is putting the success of that venture at huge risk. If we look at Russia again, let's just compare Russia with Turkey, which Russia has had a similar. I mean, it's now pivotal in developing this Eurasian partnership with China. But of course, the Russians also 10 years ago were very, very heavily integrated with the West, but they gradually disconnected incrementally and did so from a very, very strong base. Yet even now, Putin talks about, you know, Russia wanting to have good relations with the West. He continues to refer to the Western countries as his partners, a fact which surprises many people. He does this in a very measured and very methodical way. Erdogan trying to reposition Turkey so radically with the Eurasian powers in this fashion over such a short time frame, I think he's taking a huge gamble. And I think that the Russians and the Chinese, looking at this, are going to say to themselves, this man is gambling. And do we really want to invest in this gamble that he's taking? Because gamblers tend, in the end, to lose. And Erdogan has many, many critics in Turkey. A lot of people in Turkey oppose him. Probably a lot of people in Turkey are not happy with the direction that he's taking Turkey to. And it must seem to people in Moscow and Beijing that from their point of view, he may not be such a sound investment because he is too reckless and too aggressive in the way that he's doing it.
Yeah, but he still has a strong base of support, does he not?
Yes, he does. He does. I don't want to underestimate that. I mean, Erdogan is
a... I mean, he's a survivor.
He is a survivor. And within Turkish politics, he is a brilliant politician. I mean, he understands his electoral base incredibly well. He has huge support in the Turkish countryside amongst Turkish people there. He's made them feel proud of Turkey in ways that they had not been before. He's brought them that sense of rediscovery of their Islamic roots, which many of them had felt that had been taken from them. He does have a great deal of support in Turkey. The question for me is that support going to be enough to ride out the very severe economic turbulence which is to come? And, one mustn't underestimate the level of Erdogan's support, but one mustn't underestimate either the extent of the economic turbulence also. And I suspect that that's going to be very, very considerable. And I do wonder whether Erdogan, whose grasp of economics has always appeared to me to be very shaky, not realizing how much damage Turkey's economy could face and how that might dent his support along the fringes.
All right, let's talk about risks that other countries are taking and about choosing sides. Now, Cyprus, you could make the argument, is taking a risk because it's very clear to me on the ground and to many Cypriots that Cyprus has chosen the United States, NATO, EU, Israel. They've chosen that side, and many of the Russians that had a very strong base here, the Russian businesses, the investments, even on the political side of things, even though we have, and I think we will continue to have, Cyprus will continue to have good relations with Russia, but that part of the equation is now leaving the island.
Yes.
Because it's become very apparent that Cyprus is focusing all their attention towards the EU and the US and their focus there. On the other side, you have Russia, where you could say that Russia has taken in Turkey and they've chosen this alliance with Turkey. And many people see them now as you know, best of friends, the Russians and the Turks. Now, if Turkey decides one day to say, you know what, rapprochement with the United States, we want to come back home. Because the United States has always been a supporter of Turkey. You know, I would venture to say that if you said the U.S. has an Israel first policy, I would always say they always had a Turkey second policy. It was always Israel, then Turkey.
Yes.
For U.S. foreign policy.
Yes.
So if Turkey did decide to go back to the U.S., would that present a risk, one, to Cyprus and two, to Russia? I mean, because they're... There would be no doubt that the U.S. would be open and welcoming to take Turkey back.
No,
true
no
or
doubt,
not true?
No doubt at all. I have absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, if Turkey returned to a more pro-NATO foreign policy, the U.S. would be delighted. And, of course, the Pentagon and the intelligence agencies, who, as you correctly say, have a long-standing and very deep relationship with Turkey, would be extremely relieved and would be very happy to see Turkey back in the fold. And if that happens, I have to say this, I think the Russians will find that though their relationship, a relationship of some kind with Turkey, will continue, because economically it is in Turkey's interest to maintain a good relationship with Russia. The Russians may find that they have overinvested in Turkey, that they've supplied more to Turkey than ultimately it was in their interests to do. I am sure, by the way, that these debates go on in Moscow all the time, with many people within the power structure there saying, are we really sure that we know what we are doing by getting so close to Erdogan? I think that for the Russians at the moment, their priority is to sort out some sort of relationship with Turkey in order to settle the crisis in Syria. They need to be able to talk to the Turks to get the Syrians back on the ground in Idlib province and to sort out the problem of the Kurds. So I think that's one link that explains the heavy Russian investment in Turkey. And I think also, from a Russian point of view, that given the, how bad their relations are at the moment with the US and with the EU, having a friend in Turkey and having a friend in someone like Erdogan is useful. But I suspect that once the Syrian problem is solved, which it will be before very long, I think you will probably find that there will be some people in Moscow who will be saying, well, you know, we've achieved what we needed to do with Turkey. Let's slow down a little in our relationship there. And I think those sort of voices will probably prevail to a certain degree. Now, Cyprus, in my opinion, is in a different position because Cyprus, unlike Russia, is a small country. It's very exposed. It has to look at who are the people who ultimately it has to count on. And my own view, and this may not be popular with some of our viewers, is that the Cypriot government has made the right decision in the sense that going down the road of developing very close relations with Russia and distancing Cyprus, even to a small extent, from the EU and the US would be extremely dangerous for Cyprus, given that it is it would leave Cyprus very exposed, both economically, as we saw during the banking crisis in 2013, and ultimately geopolitically in the Mediterranean, which, to be very clear, is dominated by the US and NATO. I mean, in military and geopolitical terms, the Mediterranean remains essentially a NATO lake. So I think Cyprus has taken the correct decision. I don't think it would have been an easy decision for them to make. I think it's the correct one. I think the Russians understand why it's been taken. I don't think they resent it. I think from their point of view, it anyway fits in with the desire of the Russian government at the moment to repatriate many of the financial links that they had with countries like Cyprus back to Russia. And I think the Cypriot government is sophisticated enough to understand that it is in Cyprus's interests to maintain a connection to Russia. And I think it will continue to do so. I think that Cyprus has the diplomatic skills to ride this out. And I think it's played its cards wisely.
Okay. Alexander McCurris, Editor-in-Chief of The Durand. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we push out a new video. Also, you can help us out by donating to The Durand, PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. That really helps us out a lot. And the link's in the description box down below. And Alexander, people can help out by going to The Durand shop and they could purchase shirts and mugs and all kinds of other good stuff. You have a Durand polo shirt. You have a Durand mug. I've got two Durand mugs that came my way today. Absolutely. Beautiful.
So our viewers now can see, you know, that we've each got two different mugs. Yep. So there are four mugs that we're showing you. I mean, our own mug with the our own Durand emblem, the double-headed eagle, our double-headed eagle, the double-headed eagle of Moscow with the with St. George slaying the dragon of false news and fake news and untruth, and you've got the
Putin Moscow emblem mug,
the Kremlin
emblem mug, and the Spetsnaz Alpha Group.
Alpha Group,
beautiful. Absolutely. Beautiful mugs.
They're all phenomenal mugs. And can I just say the one you have with the Russian state symbol on it is exactly like the state it's exactly the same symbol that you will find on the tableware in the Kremlin, and it's exactly the same symbol that was on the mug that Putin was drinking from in Osaka at the G20 summit when it made so much attention. But
And
I mean,
all the mugs are 15 ounces, the ones that we
they're all
have,
15
the 15
ounces. They're all
ounces, yeah.
15 ounces. And I mean, you know, we both agree that they are absolutely beautiful
Yeah,
mugs. I mean,
incredible.
they are incredible mugs. They are solid porcelain. They sound, you can tell if you can hear, they sound marvelous when you and they don't chip, they don't break. They're
Truly
15.
magic.
They're truly magic mugs.
Magic
So they, you
mugs.
know, magic mugs. And by the way, the Alpha Force, we will talk about some. We'll say a few things about them. I mean, as I said, they're Russia's major special forces unit. Russia has several special forces units. There's Alpha, which is the one you have there. There's another one called Vimpel, which is part of which is also run by a counterintelligence agency, the FSB. So Alpha Force and Vimpel. Alpha is primarily an anti-terrorist special forces unit, but they're very widely used by the Russian government for many things, and they're a bit like Delta Force in the US, and they're considered to be their best special forces unit. And there's also a very mysterious special forces unit called Zaslon, which means shield, as I understand it, which is run by the SVR, that's Russia's Foreign Intelligence Organization. And then there's also one called Vityaz, which is run by the Russian National Guard. And that also has a counterinsurgency role. But Alpha Force, of which you have the an example there of their emblem, that's considered the elite one. That's the one that seized Prague Airport in 1968, which captured the presidential palace in Afghanistan in 1979, that fought with apparently spectacular courage in Afghanistan, did extraordinary work in Chechnya during the war against the jihadis there, and it's pretty well known. I mean, obviously, all special units, special forces units, what they do is kept pretty secret, but it's pretty well known that they've also operated in places like Syria and Iraq and places like that, tracking down the likes of ISIS and those sort of people. So it's quite an extraordinary force, and it's you've got the mug with their emblem on it. So there we are. So and of course you have it, and so could our viewers. They could have mugs like these of my own mugs, or they could have mugs like yours. One with, as I said, the emblem that is on Putin's tableware, and one which, as I said, Russia's absolute best soldiers, and they drink with mugs with that emblem too. So there you go. And you're absolutely right to mention all the other things we have on our shop, like these wonderful, wonderful polo shirts that I'm wearing at the moment. It's been a beautiful hot day today in London, hot by our standards. And I've been out and about in it. And as I was saying to you just before, I was at the Greek embassy today, mainly business, it must be said. But when one goes to one's own embassy, one wants to be dressed well. And so I was in this wonderful polo shirt, as I said, with our own double-headed eagle, which beautifully embroidered on it. And I'm sure I made a spectacular impression, as any one of our viewers would do when they buy themselves such a polo shirt. So, what are you all waiting for? Help the Duran and help yourself by going to our shop and buying these beautiful things.
Well said. Alexander Vickers, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.